Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, there's only 16 more days left, folks. Just over 2 more weeks before the 2020 election. As if this year wasn't bad enough with a pandemic, we've also had to deal with an election year. We're tired of the debates and arguments on TV. We've hung up on the annoying robocalls, and we don't pay attention to the signs in the yards anymore. Because I bet by this point, most people already know who they're voting for. And some people have already voted, whether by mailing in their absentee ballot or doing early voting. So they're really done with it. But how does our identity as Christians play into this? All right, it's clear that different Christians respond in different ways when it comes to politics. On the one hand, some Christians are thoroughly involved and can't get enough of it. They see no difference between being a strong Christian and being a strong patriot. They imagine Jesus supporting the American dream, and they take pride in one nation under God. On the other hand, there are some Christians who push against the political system. They see corruption and things that need to be changed. They understand how some things can be legal without being moral. They see how people with political power don't always use that power well. So where are we supposed to fall in all this? Or perhaps the better question is, where does Jesus fall in all of this? What would be his response to politics? What would Jesus say about voting? Well, these political questions are really what's at stake in today's gospel reading. All right, here we have this familiar scene of the Pharisees and Herodians trying to trap Jesus in what he said. Now, the Pharisees, of course, were some of the Jewish religious leaders. They opposed Rome, and they did not like how the Roman Empire was occupying their land. The Herodians, on the other hand, they were in league with Herod. They supported Rome. They were fine with the political system. So typically, these two groups didn't really play well together. They never crossed the aisle, so to speak. But they did come together here because they had a common enemy. Jesus. Jesus was defying the authority of the Pharisees, which made them mad. And he was also gathering a following, and Rome saw that as a threat, which made the Herodians mad. That's why these two groups come together here. They wanted to see which side Jesus really was on. And so first they butter him up with an insincere compliment. They know how to play the politics game. "Teacher," they say, "we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality." And then, as if to say, "because you show deference to no one and do not regard people with partiality, then what do you think about the emperor? Is it lawful to pay taxes to him or not?" And there's the trap. Will Jesus side with the Pharisees and say people shouldn't pay taxes to Rome? Well, if so, then he'll support those who want to rebel against the system. But that will put him and all of his followers in Rome's crosshairs. If he says they should not pay taxes, then he'll be supporting the oppressive system and the occupying empire. So his followers would rebel against him. It sounds like the perfect trap. But, of course, we all know how he answered. He asked them to show him a coin. And someone pulls one out of their pocket. The coin was a denarius. It was worth a day's wage. And on one side of the coin was an engraving of Caesar. The words around the engraving translated as Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus. On the other side were words which translate as high priest. So clearly this was not "In God We Trust." Instead, this was a declaration that the emperor was divine. So for Jews, this coin broke the first commandment. So they shouldn't have had it in their pockets to begin with. Maybe one of the Herodians pulled it out of his pocket, though. But in either case, the emperor was not divine. But notice, though, that Jesus does not accuse them of blasphemy. Instead, he asks them a question about image. He literally asks, whose icon is this? Whose image is this? Well, to his listeners, that word image should have made them think of Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That means that even the emperor is created in the image of God. Or today, we might say that even the political candidates you don't agree with are created in the image of God, too. It's really easy to vilify someone, but no matter who they are still children of God. Even so, that doesn't mean you have to agree with them or go along with what they say. That's where we get Jesus' famous line here. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. If the emperor wants the things that have his picture on them, fine, give him his money. But remember to give to God what belongs to God. So then, what belongs to God? Well, think back to Psalm 24, for example. Verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it." Everything belongs to God. Even Caesar, who is created in the image of God. So in reality, nothing belongs to the emperor. That also means that we belong to God. We don't belong to a political party or to a particular group or to a candidate. We belong to God. Jesus did not fall into the trap set for him because he didn't see it as an either or. It's not about paying taxes or not paying taxes. It's not about voting for this candidate or that candidate. It's really about how you view life. Right, so go ahead and do your duty. Pay your taxes. Vote in the election. But realize that this is not where your ultimate allegiance lies. Right, when you vote for someone, you are not saying that you pledge your lives to this person. You are simply saying that you think this is the best option available at the time. Or perhaps the least bad option available at the time. Voting does not mean that you're seeing Jesus wrapped up in the American flag. It also does not mean that you have to push against every aspect of the political system. Instead, it's a reminder that, yes, we have civic duties, but our allegiance is really to God. Consider what the psalmist said in Psalm 20. After praying that God would help the king, the speaker addresses the people and says, "Some take pride in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God." In other words, although we pray for our leaders, we do not rely on their power or strength. Instead, we rely on the Lord our God. So the good news here is that no matter who gets elected in just over 2 weeks, no matter what the fallout is after Election Day, no matter how you feel about the future of our country, God is still in charge. Plus, you are still created in the image of God. And so is the president and all of the people who get elected and those who did not vote the way you voted. God loves them, and God loves you, and God is still in charge. Nothing, no pandemic, no election, no trick questions can stop that. So go ahead and vote in the election. Go ahead and pray for our leaders, whether you agree with them or not. Go ahead and treat others with respect. But most importantly, remember that God is in charge. That's good news, especially during this year. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. In the name of the one who is our true leader, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.